The Mishnah tells us in Yuma and Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis that during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Aron HaKodesh was not located in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara has a whole discussion, where was the Aron HaKodesh? With the Aseres HaDibris, with the Luchos HaBris, that's a whole historical discussion in the Gemara. But the Mishnah states clearly that it wasn't located in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So normally, during the whole period of the Bais Rishon, and during the 40 years of the Midbar, when Aaron HaKohen went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do the Avodas Yom Kippurim, he would be Zorek the Dam facing the Aron HaKodesh. During the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Aron HaKodesh, and where did he face? And the Mishnah says there was an Eben Shesia, there was a big stone, and that was in the place where the Aron HaBris used to be, where the Aseres HaDibris used to be located in the Aron HaBris, and he would do this Rikas HaDam facing the location where the Aron used to be. That's part of the din of Kichelosi Lova. The Mokum, where the Aron was, retained its special degree of Kedusha, and the Kohen Gadol can be Zorek the Dam facing that location. So the Gemara, on the next daf, on Nun Dalet on the base, he asks, what is the Mishnah, Nun Gimel on the base in Yuma, what is the Mishnah, why does the Mishnah call this Rak? That's the Dome of the Rak, that the Arabs claim. And it's assumed that the claim is accurate, that the Dome of the Rock is a mosque that was built on top of the Mokum of the Kodesh Kodoshim, where this rock is, the Eben Shesia is. So why is it called the Eben Shesia? Eben is a stone. What does Shesia mean? So the Gemara has different suggestions. So Nun Dalar Mebeis in Yuma, the Gemara explains, why is it called Shesia? Shemisham Nishtas Kol HaOlam. When the Rabbanu Shalom created the world already and before Sheshes Mebereshes, the first day of the creation, Bereshis Bor Elokim, the first day when he created this planet of Earth, so he first created that location of the Mokum of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then this Mokum expanded. Shemishtam Nishtas Kol HaOlam. The rest of the Earth expanded from that Mokum of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So already from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the creation of the world, the Gemara is assuming that the Eretz Yisrael maintained a special status. What's the special status? Just historically, Shemisham Nishtas Kol HaOlam. So the Gemara makes a statement based on Psukim in Chumash. It says when you go from when the brothers of Yosef are shuttling back and forth to Egypt, to Eretz Yisrael. So it says when they're going to Egypt, so it says Vayerdu Acha Yosef Asor. It's called Yirida. When they go back to Eretz Yisrael, it says Vayalu Acha Yosef. It's called Aliyah. Why is it called Aliyah when you go to Eretz Yisrael? It's called Yirida when you go to Chutzlor. So the Gemara says, from these psukim, we can derive that Eretz Yisrael Gavoya Mikol Harot. So it shows a higher elevation. Then the Gemara says, based on other psukim, it says in Chumash Devarim, that if the Rabbanim in the communities have a Shaila and they can't have a Machlekes and they can't resolve the issue, they should go to the Bezn HaGadol, to the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim. Whatever they paskin is binding on everybody, and no one is allowed to disagree once the Bezn HaGadol gives a psak. Whoever disagrees has the status of a Zaken Mamre. So the Chumash used the expression, the Kamto V'Yalisa, you should go up, you should climb up to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Mikan, from that pasuk we establish the fact that Yerushalayim is Gevoya Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is a higher elevation than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So it happens that the both statements are not accurate. Eretz Yisrael is not the highest elevation above sea level. The Swiss Alps are higher than Eretz Yisrael. And Yerushalayim is not the highest location in Eretz Yisrael either. The Gemara says so. The Gemara says that when David HaMelech was planning to build the Beis HaMikdash before the Novi told him that he's not allowed to, he was too much of a warrior, he killed too many people. So the Novi said, you're going to have a son, he's going to be a peaceful man, his name is going to be Shlomo. He's going to be a man of peace. He's going to build a Beis HaMikdash, but David HaMelech was preparing a lot. It says in the Psukim in Novi, and in Divrei HaYomim, whenever he would be victorious in battle against the enemy, and he would capture precious metals, gold, silver, and copper, and so on, he would always dedicate everything, Magdash, everything, to the Beis HaMikdash. And later on, the Novi told me he's not allowed to build that Beis HaMikdash. And when he was planning the Gemara in Zvachim, says a whole story based on a phrase in a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. He thought that the Svara dictate that you should build the Beis HaMikdash in the location in Eretz Yisrael of the highest elevation above sea level, which is not Yerushalayim. It's Ein Nittim, a different location. And then the Navi told him, you guessed wrong. The Gemara says, Gemara learns that from a pasuk. That's the way you have to work. First, you have to try to figure, the Rabbanim have to try to figure out on their own where the location should be for building the Beis HaMikdash. And after they think they know what the location should be, after they make their determination, then they have to consult the Navi to see if they figured it out right. So if the Navi is maskim, is matov. The Navi says no, is no. So you have to build it where the Navi tells it. Dovin HaMelech figured out, Seichel dictates, Beis HaMikdash should be the place that has the highest elevation above the sea level, which was Ein Itim. Then the Navi tells him, no, it has to be in Yerushalayim. So you see, from the we know that the Swiss Alps are a higher elevation above sea level than Eretz Yisrael. So what is the statement in the Gemara mean? Eretz Yisrael gevoy mikol ha'arotzes. What does it mean? Yerushalayim is gevoy mikol Eretz Yisrael. It's not true. The Gemara itself knows that that's not true. So what does the Gemara say based on Pesukim? So there is a pasuk in Yecheskel where Yerushalayim is referred to as Tabur ha'aretz, the belly of the earth. What do you mean? The belly. It's the highest location. The belly sticks out. The Yerushalayim is the highest point on the globe. What does that mean, the highest point on the globe? So there's a famous Baal HaMo'or in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof HaMebeis. The Rashi and Tosfos have a pshat in the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah, a difficult pshat, a doichik pshat. And the Baal HaMo'or in his commentary on the Rif, together with another six Rishonim, Kuzari, and another five, Balamar and the Kuzri, and another five Rishonim, all learned that the Gemara there is taking a stand on the issue of the international date line. So the Gemara, according to the Chazon Ish, has a whole essay about this. Where is the international date line? Just to introduce briefly the whole topic, we know that in Eretz Yisrael it becomes Shabbos 7 hours earlier than in New York. And in Los Angeles it becomes Shabbos 3 hours later. As you keep on going further west and west and west, so the Shkia is later and later, so Shabbos begins later. As you keep on going further east, so Shabbos becomes earlier. But then you're going to reach a point that one person is going to be going east, and Shabbos is going to be earlier. You're going to go past Yerushalayim. You're going to go Korea. You're going to go to Japan. So Shabbos is going to be earlier. And then the guy who's going west, Shabbos is going to be later. They're going to bump into each other. So which is the correct day? Is it that in Korea or in Japan, that's the earliest place in the world where they have Shabbos, or that's the latest place? So you have to have some arbitrary line which you draw, and you declare that's halachically the international date line, and that's where the days begin. And you don't say you keep on going west, and Shabbos keeps on beginning later. No, you reach a certain point, you say that's the first place where they all get Shabbos. So the question is, where is this international date line? So according to the seven Rishonim, the Gemara takes a stand on this issue in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof and Beis. According to Rashi and Tosfos, there is no Gemara. The Gemara didn't say anything about this topic. And the Epshat is very doichik. Rashi and Tosfos get stuck. The Epshat doesn't work out well in Pirush HaMilas in the Gemara. But according to the seven Rishonim who learn otherwise in the Gemara, so the Gemara says that the Gemara says like this, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, which the earth is a globe. This is part of the pshat that these seven Rishonim learned. The Chachmei HaGemara, the Rabbonim in the days of the Gemara knew that the earth was a globe, it's not flat. And as a globe, as a ball, you have two hemispheres. So the question is, which is the more important hemisphere? So we usually divide. Some people divide between the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. You have the North Pole on top and the South Pole on the bottom and the northern hemisphere, right? And you have the equator in the middle. Others usually on political maps, so they draw the distinction between the western hemisphere where the United States is and all the democratic countries are, and then you have the eastern hemisphere with a non-democratic space over there where the rest of the world is, the countries that don't yet have democracy. So you can draw however you want. You can have the east side as the center of the upper hemisphere. If you want, I was born in Scranton. You can have Scranton, the top of the upper hemisphere. You can have whatever you want. You want to have Korea. You want to have the North Pole. You want to have the South Pole. You have your globe upside down. You have the South Pole on top in the center of the upper hemisphere. You can have whatever you want. So halachically, what's on top? What do you mean halachically? Alpi halacha, what should be in the center of the upper hemisphere? So the Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael, and the Mokam of the Beis HaMikdash is the highest location. Doesn't mean the highest location above sea level. That's not Emes. They knew. It doesn't really mean Kedusha. It doesn't really mean. The Gemara says really it's higher. Literally higher. The Kamtovi Alisa, higher. So what does it mean higher? It's not higher above sea level. So that's what the Mefarshim say. No, it means when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he didn't have the North Pole on top, and he didn't have the South Pole on top, he didn't have New York City on top. He had in the center of the upper hemisphere, he had Eretz Yisrael with Yerushalayim. And that's why, since that's in the center of the upper hemisphere, and it says Vahiyere, Vahivaker, Yom Echad, Vahiyere, Vahivaker, Yom Sheni, and so on. So all of time begins 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. If there are 24 hours in the whole globe, the way we know, there are time zones, 24 time zones in the globe, and Yerushalayim is going to be in there 12 hours in each hemisphere. So if Yerushalayim is in the center, in the beginning of all of time is at the beginning of that hemisphere, so that's 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. So that's what the Chazon Ish writes, based on these seven Rishonim who interpret that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah talks about the topic, that the international dateline is 6 hours to 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, means that it cuts through Korea. Cuts through Korea, then when it gets to Australia, cuts through Australia. Two-thirds of Australia is to the east of the dateline, and one-third of Australia is to the west of the dateline. Then there's a further detail question, a major detail. What do you do if it cuts through Korea? So you say on this side of the street, it's the earliest place that Shabbos. On the other side of the street, if you go to the east, the other side is the last place in the world to get Shabbos. That sounds a little strange. One side of the street is going to be Shabbos, one side of the street is going to be Friday. So some hold Anachanami, that's the way it is. And the Chazon Ish quotes from not all the seven Rishonim take a stand on this issue. The Chazon Ish quotes two of the seven Rishonim who say the same pshat in the Gemara, say that once you have one land mass, it's one continent, so it has to be the same day of the week on both sides. So the question is, so which one wins? So let's say if the dateline cuts through Korea, so do you say since Eastern Manchuria, the tip of Asia is on the east side of the dateline, that's the last place in the world to get Shabbos, not the first, so maybe it's Gorer all of the rest of the continent, all of the rest of Europe and Asia after it. But he's saying, no, since 90% of Europe and Asia, it's all we're one big continent, since 90% is on the west of the dateline, so it's Gorer the minority. So the Chazon Ish says neither. The answer is neither. And the answer is not going to be that on one side of the street the Shabbos, one side of the street is Friday. He says the answer is the more important hemisphere always wins. If you have a landmass that has part of that landmass belongs to this more important hemisphere that has Eretz Yisrael in it, and the other part of that landmass, the other part of Manchuria, belongs to the lower hemisphere. The upper hemisphere means that hemisphere that has Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael on top of it. On the Gevoya Mikol Harot is the highest location on the peak of this hemisphere. So the Chazon Ish says that these Rishonim say that the more important hemisphere is the upper hemisphere where Eretz Yisrael is, and that wins, that's Koveya, the day of the week for the whole landmass. So that's what the Chazon Ish, when the Jews were running away from the Nazis and they stayed in Japan for a short period of time, so that's when the issue came up. When is Shabbos? When do you observe Shabbos in Japan? The issue came up more pointedly when you observe Yom Kippur. But it's really a Shailah and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shabbos every day of the week. When do you lay in Sheni Mechamishi? When do you say Bahurachim? All right. But Yom Kippur is a little more important than Bahurachim. You can say Bahurachim in the middle of the week also. And you go, which Shir Shal Yom do you say? Okay. Hari Kan Sfira. Okay. Which day is it? Which day is it? So the big issue came up by Yom Kippur time. So the Chazon Ish and several other Gedolim, there was a big machlekes at that time. So the Chazon Ish wrote this whole long essay, which is included in his Sefer on Aruch Chaim, where he shows from the Gemara that the international dateline cuts through Korea. And then he says, since the rest of Eastern Manchuria is all on the same landmass, it's all on the same continent, so it's Nigrar after the rest of Europe and Asia. But Japan, which is a separate island, it's not part of the same continent, that'll be the last place in the world to have Shabbos. It won't be the first place in the world to have Shabbos. That'll be the last place, because it's to the east of the dateline. So this is all, this whole issue of the international dateline, this is based on the premise that when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, the first thing he created was Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Devin, Shesia, and everything else expanded from there. And that's what it means, that Eretz Yisrael is the Tabur Har, it's Yerushalayim is Tabur Har, that's the peak, that's the top. Eretz Yisrael Gevoya Mikol HaRotzes, And Yerushalayim Gavaya Mikol Ha'av Mikol Eretz Yisrael means that it's on top. So this is before you get to any issues of the Jewish religion. Showing that's just in order to know what day of the week it is, where the international dateline should be drawn. Then there's another issue, there's another role that Eretz Yisrael plays in Halacha, namely, Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. The Gemara in Baba Basra on Daf Kuf Yutes, Omer Aleph, quotes the Tana Shimon HaShikmoni Omer, the Gemara has a brisa, that this Tana says, what was the question that the Benoist Tzolofchad asked of Moshe Rabbeinu? So we live in a generation where it became very popular, the story of Benoist Tzolofchad became very, very popular. So the way it's usually misunderstood is that it was a question of women's issues, the women's rights. If there are no sons, do the daughters get the Yerusha or not? So the way some of the women presented, if they pressured the Rabbanu Shalom long enough, or some of them say, if you pressure the rabbis long enough, they pressure Moshe Rabbeinu, as if Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who makes up all the laws. It says Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rabbanu Shalom, what's the din? The Rabbanu Shalom told him, this is the din. So it means if you pressure the Rabbanu Shalom long enough, or the way they worded, you pressure the rabbis long enough, whatever, then they're going to give in and they're going to give the women's rights. So this Tana in the Gemara says that that's a total misunderstanding of the whole story. That Moshe Rabbeinu knew, the Menoi Slavchad knew, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew, and everybody knew the din is that when there are sons and daughters, the sons get the Yerusha, the daughters don't get. And when there are no sons, then the daughters get the Yerusha. Why should you give it to a cousin, to an uncle, if there are daughters? So the daughters come, the daughters are closer relatives than the uncles or the cousins. The suffix that they had was the shaila that Menoist Slavchad asked was a totally different shaila, nothing to do with women's rights. It was a shaila about the nature of Eretz Yisrael. And it goes as follows, the Gemara explains. So the Mishnah says, Tzolofchad ben Chefer was the firstborn to his father. So as such, he was a bchor, so he was entitled to a double portion. But the Mishnah states in Yesh Neuchlin, the Mishnah in Bechor is also the end of Bechor states that the Bechor is only entitled to Pishnaim, to a double portion, Bechol Asher Yimotze Lo, only B'muchzok and not B'roi, whatever assets the father has at the moment of death. Let's say for argument's sake, this is not the case, let's say for argument's sake, you have Avram Avinu, and then he has a son Yitzchak, and then he has a son Yaakov, and Yaakov and Esav are our brothers, let's say for argument's sake, Yaakov is the Bechor, and Esav is not the Bechor. Okay, questionable whether that's the case. Let's say Yaakov is the Bechor, he's entitled to a double portion. So let's say for argument's sake, Avram Avinu, let's say Yitzchak dies before Avram Avinu. It's not true. Avram Avinu died first. So let's say Avram Avinu is a multimillionaire, Yitzchak is a multimillionaire, and Yaakov and Esav now want to divide the Yerusha. So we'll say Yaakov is the Bechor, he's entitled to 2/3, and Esav only gets 1/3. So when Yitzchak dies and he has these millions of dollars, Yaakov gets 2/3 and Esav gets 1/3. After Yitzchak dies, then Avram Avinu dies. So Yaakov is not the Bechor of Avram Avinu. He's not a child of Avram. He's the firstborn, let's say for argument's sake, he's the Bechor of Yitzchak. Yaakov is the Bechor of Yitzchak, but he's not the Bechor of Avram Avinu. But when Avram Avinu dies, so who gets the Yerusha? So Yitzchak gets it bekever. The Yarshin's bekever, a lahanchel, to transmit the assets that he's getting from Avram Avinu to his two children. But since this is what the Gemara calls nichsei de avua da'aba, if the grandfather dies after the father dies, then this grandson, who's the firstborn, is only entitled to the pishnayim on the assets that Yitzchak had at the time that he died. On the assets, on the property of Avram Avinu, that Yitzchak only acquires after he's already dead and buried, what we call his Yorish Bekever, so then Yaakov is not entitled to Pishnaim on that, that they divide 50-50. This is a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, this was the suffix of the Benoist Tzolofchad. Their father Tzolofchad was the firstborn to his father Chefer. Tzolofchad by Chefer, that's what it says in the Mishnah. So therefore he's entitled to get a double portion, two shares. There were more than two sons. There were a whole bunch of sons. Whenever there's a Bechor, so you treat, the Bechor doesn't always get 2/3. It means if there are two sons, so you treat the Bechor as if he were two children. And then there's another son, so you count it as if there are three children, so he gets 2/3 and he gets 1/3. Let's say there are nine sons. There were nine sons and nine daughters. Someone dies, he leaves nine sons and nine daughters. So the daughters don't get anything. And this nine sons get the Yerusha. So if one of the nine sons is the firstborn, sometimes the daughter will be the firstborn. So the nine sons divide equally, each one gets 1/9. But if one of the nine sons is the firstborn child of all the 18 children, so he's entitled to Pishnaim. So it does mean he gets 2/3. And then the remaining third you divide among the remaining eight sons. You treat him as if he were 2 children. So you make believe as if there are 10 children. So the Bchor gets 2/10. And each one of the other 8 children gets 1/10. That's what it means, Pishnaim. The conservatives made up a whole pshat. That originally the din used to be that the Bchor gets 2/3. And then the rabbi saw that the people don't like it, so they changed the din. There isn't a shred of evidence to demonstrate that this is so. And then in Mele they say, just like the rabbis in the days of the Talmud changed the laws when they saw the people didn't like it, so we can also change the laws today if we don't like it. And we all know that Hillel changed the law. They always quote, Hillel changed the law with the Prizbul. Yeah, the Gemara has a long discussion of Hillel. How could Hillel change the law regarding the Prizbul? But this one, Mamish, this was invented from thin air. This is a talent to invent such a whole interpretation with the Pishnayim, that originally the din used to be the Bchor gets 2/3, and then they changed it. This doesn't say anywhere. No sources of it. This Mamish invented from thin air. So the Gemara says that this was the question that was raised by the Benoist Tzolofchot and Moshe Rabbeinu. They knew that their father was entitled, their father Tzolofchot. There weren't only 2 sons. There was Tzolofchot ben Chefer and many other sons. So Tzolofchot was entitled to a double portion, not 2/3, a double share. You count them as if he were 2 children. So the shaila is, but he's only entitled to a pishnayim on what his father Chefer possessed at the time the father died. So what did the father have? He had a suitcase full of bezus mitzrayim. He had a couple of pieces of jewelry here and there. He had a sukkah, mistama, they were traveling in the midbar. Everybody had a sukkah, they slept alone. A pair of pajamas, underwear. What did he have? What do they have in the midbar already? But the question is, what about the real estate? What about the big money in Eretz Yisrael? What about Eretz Yisrael? Did he have a share in Eretz Yisrael? So that was the shaila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, "Kum hisalech ba'oretz la'orko l'rochbo kilucho etineno." He told Avram Avinu, "Walk around the borders of Eretz Yisrael, kilucho etineno, because I will be giving you ownership of Eretz Yisrael." So the question is, was that a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future? Kilucho etineno. I promise you, Avram Avinu, and I promise Yitzchak and Yaakov, that I will give Eretz Yisrael to your children, to your descendants. And where was the promise fulfilled? In the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when they conquered Eretz Yisrael, it took 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael, then they acquired ownership. And from that time on, Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people. But in the days of the Midbar, when Tzolofchot and Chefer were traveling in the Midbar, they just had a promise. They didn't yet have the Eretz Yisrael. So if that's the pshat in the pasuk, kilucho etineno is a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future, then the Gemara says that Tzolofchot is not entitled to the double portion, because Chefer, his father, didn't have the ownership yet. He didn't have that asset. It was just a promise that wasn't yet fulfilled. However, if one should understand the pshat and the pasuk in Chumash Bereishis differently, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, walk around the borders of Eretz Yisrael, because by walking around, you will thereby acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael. This constitutes a kinyan chazaka. You can be kind of karka bechazaka, either bekesef, bishtar, or bechazaka, the Mishnah in Cheska Sabbat. So this is the chazaka. Walk around the borders, and you will thereby acquire the ownership of Eretz Yisrael, and it'll belong to you immediately. Take it from Yad. It's not a promise for the distant future. Kiluchat Tanani means I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael right now. So the Gemara, this Tana, Shimon HaShikmoni, understood that that was the question that the Benoist Tzolofchot were asking. They weren't asking an issue of women's rights. It wasn't an issue at all. If you have men and women, whether the women get Yerusha, they knew all the dinim. The shadow they were asking was their father was the firstborn. Tzolofchot was the Bechor to his father, Chefer. He was entitled to Pishnayim and all the assets that the father had at the time of his death. So how many assets did the father have? Did he just have a sukele with his underwear, with his pajamas, with his bathrobe? That's the ganze mice with a little bezus mitzrayim and a bezus ayam. Had a couple of pieces of jewelry. Or did he have a big shtick in Eretz Yisrael? Because Eretz Yisrael already belonged to Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu died, he went to Yerusha to Yitzchak. When Yitzchak died, he went to Yang. When Yang died, he went to the Yud Bei Shvatim. And each one of the Shvatim had children, Enik Lachur. Each one had already a share in Eretz Yisrael. True, they didn't divide it up yet, but each one had a certain percentage of an ownership in Eretz Yisrael that already belonged to them. So Tzolofchot ben Chefer at the time that he died, already owned Karka in Eretz Yisrael, that he got Birusha. That was the question that the Bnei Salafchad asked of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't know. I'm not sure myself. And when I delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to deliver in the beginning of Chumash Mos, that Benasati Otzalachem, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Salafchad, Hatzesi, Vihitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti, Vihivesi, Eschem El Horetz, I will bring the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. V'nasati osa lachem morosho, and I will give you Eretz Yisrael as a morosho. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not sure myself. I delivered that nevuah. I said it with my own lips. That was direct dictation, word for word from the Rabbanu Shalom, but I'm not sure what the kavana was, morosho. Does morosho mean the same as Yerusha? It was a Yerusha that we got from the days of Avraham Avinu, from Yitzchak, from Yaakov. We got it as a Yerusha. Or maybe the word Marasha doesn't mean that at all. Maybe Marasha means a promise for the future that we're going to get it, but we don't have it yet. So Moshe Rabbeinu says he doesn't know. He delivered the Nevuah. He himself is not sure what the word Marasha meant. And he wrote down the story in the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu already wrote down the story about the arrangement with Avraham Avinu, that he walked around the borders and the Rabbanu Shalom told him, Kilucho etineno. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not sure what that pasuk means either, Kilucho etineno, whether it means a promise for the distant future to be fulfilled in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Well, not a promise, they're koina immediately with the kinyan hazoka. So that was the shaila they asked of the Rabbanu Shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what the din is. So the Rabbanu Shalom answered, Nason titein lehem achuzas nachalo, the kefaloshen, the double expression, why Nason titein? So the Gemara has a famous dispute between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, many different mesichtas, but the Dibur Torah Kedushin Beni Adam, or Lo Dibur Torah Kedushin Beni Adam. When people speak, they a lot of times repeat themselves. So it doesn't necessarily mean anything, just because a person repeats the same word two or three times. You can't be medayik anything. But the question is, the Rabbanu Shalom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu also like that, Beloshin Beni Adam, Beloshin Beni Adam. So a person is sometimes... the Pasuk sometimes repeats an expression like Nason Titein or Hanik Tanik or Nason or Pasach Tiftach, many Pesukim like that. Most Yumsu, you have the same word repeated more than once. So that's a machloikis. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Dibur Torah Kedushin Beni Adam, you have the shyness Kfulim, you have a Kefal Oshin. And it doesn't necessarily mean anything special. And we don't accept his opinion. We follow the view of Rabbi Akiva, who says that Lo Dibur Torah Kedushin Beni Adam, whenever you have the Shonis Kfulim, whenever you have a Kefal Loshen, we're marbis something, we're medaik something from the fact that the word is written twice. Pasach Tiftach, Hanik Tanik, Nosen Titen, whenever it says Mos Yumas, whenever it says the same word twice, you're marbis something. So here also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that the Bnei Salafchad should get the Yerush. He says, yes, Kein Bnei Salafchad Dovers, Noson Titen Lahem Achuzas Nachlo Besoch Achei Avihim. What do you mean, Noson Titein? Why the Kefal Loshen? So this Tanashim and Hashikmoni and the Gemara and Bava Basa Kuf Yates understands that the Kefal Loshen means that they're entitled to the Pishnaim. Yes, the whole Shaila was that they're entitled to Pishnaim. Not a Shaila where the women get when they're no men. That they knew what the din was. But Slavcha knew that din. The Shaila was a Shaila about the ownership of Eretz Yisrael. From what moment on did the Jewish people acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael? So the answer was given from the days Eretz Yisrael mechzak simi avaseinu mimois Avraham Avinu. It's muchzuk, it's not roi. Muchzuk means that the b'chor is entitled to pishnaim because the father already had the asset at the time of his death. And roi means it was a promise. He didn't acquire the ownership of this asset yet. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, nason titein a kefal loshen, give them a double portion. Yes, they are entitled to the pishnaim because Eretz Yisrael is muchzuk, it's not roi. And it's Mechzakas Mimois Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu walked around the border, that was the Kinyan Chazoka. And the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Kuf has a Machlokes HaTanoim. What if I'll sell you a field today? And I'll tell you, walk around the borders and acquire ownership. Does that constitute a Chazoka Bizman Hazeh? So we Paskin know. We assume that that Chazoka that Avraham Avinu made by walking around the borders of Eretz, that was only as a Hayru Ashur. But as a din l'doris, that doesn't work. And the other Tana Rabbi Lezer disagrees, says, no, this is a kinyan l'doris. Walking around the borders constitutes a kinyan hazake, even in our generation as well. The Chazon Ish has an interesting comment. Rav Soloveitchik said this also when we learned this Gemara. The Chazon Ish has an interesting comment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he tells Avraham Avinu to walk around the border, then he swears to Avraham Avinu he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to his descendants. When the Rebbeinu Shlom swears to Yitzchak he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to his descendants, then he swears to Yankim he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to his descendants. What does he keep on swearing and promising? He gave it already. If you would have understood the pshat that Kilchoy Tinen is a promise in the future, so the Rebbeinu Shlom keeps on promising. He promised he's going to give Avraham Avinu, then he continues, he promises Yitzchak, he promises Yankov, and he doesn't deliver on the promise till the days of Yishuv Benun, when he conquers Eretz Yisrael. It takes 7 years to conquer. But if he already gave him Eretz Yisrael, so what does he keep on promising he's going to give? He gave already. It already belongs to Avraham Avinu. So the Chazon Ish explains that whenever the Rebbeinu Shlom takes the Shvuah, the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash writes this in a few different places. Whenever you have a Shvuah, so that means I'll call upon him under all conditions, under all circumstances, no strings attached. We have, so the Chazon Ish explained, we have, the Gemara in Gittin has on Daf Lamed Ches, we have an international din that's called Kibush Mochama. If people own property, or if a country owns property, and then there's a war, and whether the country who waged war had the right to wage war or not, doesn't make a difference. The halacha says if a private person gambles, I steal your automobile, or I steal your house, or I steal your money, so the money in the automobile still belongs to you. But if one country wages war against another country, and one country wins the war, whether rightfully or otherwise, the halacha says the country that wins the war acquires the ownership over all of the property. That's called Kibush Mochama. I think Gemara learns that from Psukim, that it doesn't make a difference whether it's Jewish people waged war against the non-Jews and they won, or the non-Jews waged war against the Jews and they won, or the non-Jews waged war against the other non-Jews and one of them won. Amun Amoyev Tiharu B'sichon is based on this principle of Kibush Mochama. The Gemara derives all this from Psukim. There is such a principle of Kibush Mochama. So the Chazon Ish points out that one might mistakenly think that Eretz Yisrael belonged to Avraham Avinu, he made a kinyan. But then, if the non-Jews are going to wage war against the Jews, and they'll destroy the first Beis HaMikdash, and they'll conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, so the Jews will lose their ownership of Eretz Yisrael. So the Ribbono Shel Olam takes the Shvuah to Avraham Avinu, Eretz Yisrael will always belong to the Jewish people, we'll never forfeit our ownership. So even after the Churban Bayis Rishon and after the Churban Bayis Sheni and everything, Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jewish people. And it's not that the Balfour Declaration was kind enough to declare that the British are going to give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. And then in 1948, the United Nations declared that the British are giving it over, showing the British mandate was it had nothing to do with the British. We thank them very much, very nice of them. But it belonged to the Jewish people all along. We never lost our ownership of Eretz Yisrael. True, the private people did lose their ownership. There were people who owned fields and houses and everything. So that the Rebbeinu Shlom never made a shvuah on that. The shvuah that he made was to the Jewish people as a nation, as a whole. He swore to Avram and he swore to Yitzchak and he swore to Yankov that Klal Yisrael will always have the ownership, will always maintain the ownership over Eretz Yisrael. He never made a shvuah that the individual people who owned the areas in Eretz Yisrael will retain their ownership. So Taka, the individual people, forfeited their ownership. The field doesn't belong to this particular. The field that used to belong to my great-great-great-great-grandfather, he lost his ownership at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, or the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. Taka doesn't belong to him. But I still, all of Klal Yisrael owns all of Eretz Yisrael, and each Jew, each individual Jew, those who are Gerim, don't have a share. But those who are descendants from those who originally were the Jewish people, all have a share in Eretz Yisrael, floating around somewhere. We'll have to make a halukah, and everyone will get their share. But already now, all along, through all the years of the Golas, through the 2,000 years, even before 1948, before the Balfour Declaration, Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jewish people. I remember we once had a guest rabbi from Eretz Yisrael, gave a shiur in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class. We were learning Sanhedrin then, Gemara Sanhedrin. So he gave a shiur about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So he was assuming that at that time, part of his pilpul was that at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Bnei Yisrael lost their ownership over Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Soloveitchik was sitting in the back of the classroom, so he started to argue with the guest Magid Shia. And the guest kept on insisting that that's the pshat. So Rabbi Soloveitchik let him go. He didn't want to argue too much. The next day, when the guest was no longer there, so Rabbi Soloveitchik started off the Shia by saying that the Gemara says that there's a mitzvah, you have to be mechabit talmid hachamim, but if the talmid hacham made a mistake, there's no din of kovet talmid hacham. The Gemara's expression is b'mokum sheish chil l'Hashem. If the talmid hacham made a mistake, does not mean chil l'Hashem. He's b'mokum sheish chil l'Hashem, talmid hacham made a mistake, ain cholkin kovet l'rab. So he said he wants everybody to know that the guest yesterday made a major mistake that is just not so. That the Jewish people never lost their ownership over Eretz Yisrael, not after the Churban Bayis Rishon, not after the Churban Bayis Sheni, in all the years of the Golus, so it had nothing to do with Balfour Declaration, with the League of Nations, with the United Nations. Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jewish people. All of Eretz Yisrael that Avraham Avinu acquired when he walked around the borders always belonged to the Jewish people. That's what the Chazon Ish points at. That's why the Rabbanu Shalom made this Shvua to Avraham Avinu. The Shvua means, I'll call upon him. That's how the Ramban writes several places in Chumash. Shul means I'll call upon him under all circumstances, even if it will be taken away from us. Through Kibush Mulchama, the Jewish people still maintain ownership over Eretz Yisrael. Then the Talmud speaks about a third aspect to Eretz Yisrael that is a more popular aspect that people are more familiar with, the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. We have what we call Chovis Karka, we have agricultural mitzvahs. The Mishnah calls it mitzvahs atluyas ba'oretz, and the Gemara calls it Chovis Karka. The agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael that has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. You can have Eretz Yisrael and may not necessarily have Kedushas ha'oretz. Which are these agricultural mitzvahs? So we know the din requires every 7th year is a Shemitah and every 50th year is a Yovel. And in the middle of the 7 years, you have to be Mafresh Chumas and Maisus, Maisus Rishon, Maisus Sheni, Maisus Oni. You have to give Leket, Shikha, Peya. So these are all the agriculture mitzvahs. When you bake cake or cookies or bread, you have to be Mafresh Chala. So these are all considered agricultural mitzvahs that only apply in Eretz Yisrael that has Kedushas Ha'oretz. When did Eretz Yisrael acquire its Kedushas Ha'oretz? So the Gemara says it took 14 years. After Yeshua ben Nun crossed over the Yarden with Bnei Yisrael, so it took 14 years till they began to count for the Shemitah. The first Shemitah year, they didn't observe Shemitah when they were traveling in the desert. Shemitah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have to be Mafresh Trumas and Isis until the 15th year after they crossed over the Yarden. The first 7 years it took them to conquer all the Laman Aleph Malachim. There were 31 kings who each kingdom, Eretz Yisrael is right in the middle of the three continents of Europe, Asia, and Africa. So each one of the kingdoms in the bordering areas, everyone had a share. Every king wanted to have a share in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody had a palace and the whole area there. So it took 7 years till they conquered all the Lamed Aleph Malachim. That's how the Balaturim writes, Kol HaRotzes HaEl. El Aleph Lamed is 31. You don't need to get matria. It's a Beferish Pasuk in Sefer Yeshua. It says there were Lamed Aleph Malachim, there were 31 kings. With or without the Balaturim is Kol HaRotzes HaEl. And last week's Sedra. So the Gemara says it took 7 years till Yeshua ben Nun conquered all of Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says in the Pasuk. And then the Gemara assumes that it took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. After the Jewish people have it, so it took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim and among the families and among the Yechidim. So until Eretz Yisrael was conquered and it was divided among all of the individual people, Eretz Yisrael didn't yet have its Kedushas. So the first year when they observed the mitzvahs of agricultural mitzvahs of Trumas and Maisus and Leket Shikhan Pei was the 15th year after they crossed over the Yarden. The first 14 years didn't count. And the first Shemitah was the 21st year. The first 14 years didn't count. There was no Kedushas Ha'aretz. So the 7th year from the beginning of the count of the Shemitah was really the 21st year after they crossed over the Yarden. And the first Yovel, the first Shnas HaYovel, the Rambam writes based on the Gemara, was not the 50th year after they crossed over the Yarden, but rather the 64th year. The first 14 years didn't count. And then they started counting from 1 to 50. And the 64th year was the 50th year that you began to observe the laws of Yovel. So this is what we refer to as Kedusha Rishona. The first time Eretz Yisrael was endowed with Kedusha was in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, not in the days of Avraham Avinu. Tosfos on that Gemara in Yevamos Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis quotes the Pirush Rabbeinu Hananel, and they don't understand what the Rabbeinu Hananel says. Rabbeinu Hananel says that the Kedusha Rishona was accomplished over Eretz Yisrael in the days of Avraham Avinu. So Tosfos says it's not true. In the days of Avraham Avinu, he acquired bailus. He acquired ownership over Eretz Yisrael by walking around the borders. And the walking around the borders constituted the Kinyan Chazakah. but it didn't yet have Kedusha Saaretz. It was the ownership of the Klal Yisrael, but it didn't get the Kedusha until Yeshua ben Nun conquered the land with the Jewish armies. It took 7 years to conquer the land, Shevesh Kopshu, and then Shevesh Chilka, 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara has a Machloikas Hatanaim. What happened on the occasion of the, at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, when the Babylonian armies of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was the Melech Bovel. He wasn't waging the war. Nebuzaradan was his general. So, but we call it Nebuchadnezzar because Nebuzaradan, the Gemara says Nebuzaradan was such a Ibe Gegebene Eved for Nebuchadnezzar, so it's considered as if Nebuchadnezzar conquered Eretz Yisrael. The general was so Ibe Gegebene to the king. So what happened at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon and all of Eretz Yisrael was taken away by the Babylonian armies? So true, the Jewish people didn't lose their ownership over Eretz Yisrael because the Rabbeinu Shlom gave a shvuah, he gave a haftocha that Eretz Yisrael will always belong to the Jewish people. So even during the 7 years of Golus Babel, it belonged to the Jews. But should we assume that it retained the Kedusha? Or should we somehow assume that the Kedusha disappeared? So the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Pei Beis, on the Beis, quotes in other places, the Gemara quotes, this is a dispute among the Tanoim. Should we assume the Kedusha Rishayna, that Yoshua ben Nun endowed Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha, was of an everlasting nature, Kitchel Asi Lava? And he say, no, it was only Kitchel Ashait, it only had Kedusha Kolzman, Eretz Yisrael was under Jewish control, but like Kitchel Asi Lava. After the Churban Haaretz, after the Churban Hamdina by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, and the Buzarad and the generals, and maybe the whole Kedusha disappeared. So that's the accepted opinion. This is a dispute among the Tanoim, and we paskin that the Kedusha Rishayna that was given to Eretz Yisrael by Yeshua ben Nun was only Kolzman, Eretz Yisrael was under Jewish control. At the time of the Churban Haaretz and the days of Nebuchadnezzar and the Buzarad, the Kedusha Saaretz disappeared. And then when Ezra and Nehemiah came back and they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdosh, they endowed Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha a second time around. The second time around, the Rambam points out, there was no kibush. They didn't conquer Eretz Yisrael for 300-400 years. They were under the Goyish government, under the control of the king of Babel and the king of Persia and so on and so forth, till the Hashmonaim, till the revolt of the Hashmonaim. And then from the days of the Hashmonaim, it was up to another 200 years, a little over 200 years, the Rambam writes, till the end of the period of the Bayis Sheni. So the first several centuries of the Bayis Sheni, there was no Jewish control over Eretz Yisrael. So what was the Mikdash the second time around? It wasn't Kibush, and it wasn't Chaluka L'Shvatim. You look in Tanakh, there never was a Kibush. They didn't conquer the land till the days of the Hashmonaim. There was no Chaluka either. It doesn't say anywhere in Tanakh that there was a Chaluka. So obviously it wasn't the same type of a Mikdash that it was in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Days of Yeshua ben Nun was kibush v'chiluk. It took 7 years to conquer the land, 7 years to divide it. Days of Ezra and Nehemiah, there was no kibush v'chiluk. So the Rambam is basing his statement on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So the Rambam coins a phrase. The expression doesn't appear in the Talmud Yerushalmi. The concept appears. The Rambam says that the kedusha saaretz the second time around was accomplished through chazokah. Chazokah just means the Jews moved into Eretz Yisrael. They built the Beis HaMikdash and they lived. They moved around the Yerushalayim. They kept on expanding, the Yishuv expanding. And the Rabbanim, the Bez Nagodl, had in mind they want to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael by virtue of the fact that the Jews are living there. So the first time around, when you want to create the Kedusha, the first time around it has to be accomplished through Kibush V'chiluk. You have to conquer the land and then divide it among the Shvatim. An area that once had Kedusha Rishayna and lost the Kedusha because the Goyim were Kibush away from us, and then you want to rekindle, you want to reawaken that Kedusha. So the Rambam quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Kedusha can be rekindled through Chazokah, through moving into Eretz Yisrael. Regarding the Kedusha Shniyah that was accomplished by Ezra and Nehemiah, so the Gemara says that there were many areas in Eretz Yisrael which had Kedusha Rishayin or had Kedusha Saaretz in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. And then the days of Ezra Nehemiah, when they were Mekadosh a second time around, they decided Bedavka not to be Mekadosh all of the areas, for political consideration. The Gemara says, we can understand this very well. Today, every seventh year is Shemitah. So it's a big problem in Eretz Yisrael. Every time a Shemitah comes, the farmers don't want to observe the laws of Shemitah. It's very difficult. You're not going to make any parnasa that year. Go sit and learn. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. We should all have bitachon. We should all sit and learn. So it's not so easy. So everybody's looking for a het mechira. Everybody's looking for a kula. They want a break. They don't want to say. It's true. Every seventh year, every time the Shemitah rolls by in recent years, in the last 30 years, and more people are observing the laws of, more and more farmers are observing the laws of Shemitah, not relying on the het mechira. But it's still not half of the, less than 50% of the farms in Eretz Yisrael are not relying on Het Mechir. Most of the people do rely on Het Mechir. It's a hardship. To observe the laws of Shemitah is a hardship. So the Gemara says that they made a conscious decision, Ezra and Nehemiah, that they're going to leave out a lot of areas, Harbe Karachim. There were many areas, Kof Sheol and Mitzrayim. In the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, these areas were conquered and they were divided among the Shvatim and the Yechidim, and they were endowed with Kedushas Haaretz, Lokov Sheoli Bavel. When they came back from Bavel, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, they decided then they're going to leave them out. They're going to leave out many areas, not to be Mekadosh them. The Hinichum, why did they leave them? Why weren't they Mekadosh all of the areas? Because of the Shemitah problem. Kedesh Yismuchu Aleim Anim Meshviyis. The Anim, the poor people, should have what to rely on. There's going to be food over there. All of Eretz Yisrael, you have to observe the laws of Shemitah, Ashver and Maisa. And these areas, which were never given the Kedusha Shniya, so they don't have to observe the laws of Shemitah, and whatever grows, Yemafish Maisa Oni, in the Shemitah year, so the Anim will have a Parnasa, they can work the fields there, and then they're going to get the Maisa Oni, so it's a double Cheshbon on behalf of the Anim. So the Gemara says this was a political consideration that the Tanoim had, not the Tanoim, not Sheknes HaGdol had, when they were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, so they bedafke left out areas, the hinichum, they left out a lot of krachim, a lot of areas, in order not to endow them with Kedusha, in order that the anim should have areas where they won't be observing Shemitah, so they'll be able to make a living during Shemitah. It's interesting, the same shaila that came up at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, which was a machlokes hatanoim, it was an ongoing debate, whether the Kedusha Rishona that was accomplished by Yeshua ben Nun was of an everlasting nature. Nebuchadnezzar, and the Nebuchadnezzar, when they conquered the whole Medina, so the whole Kedusha was forfeited. That's what the accepted opinion. So when the second Beis Hamikdash, that's why we assume that there are areas in Eretz Yisrael that when Ezra and Nehemiah and were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around, they left out certain areas not to be Mekadosh all of the land. If it would have been Kedusha Rishon and Kitcha Lossi Lovat, what has it got to do with Ezra and Nehemiah? Everything was read in this Kaddish from the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. So the accepted opinion is because the Kedusha Rishon was like Kitcha Lossi Lovat. What about the Kedusha Shnia? What about the Kedusha Ezra and Nehemiah accomplished Kedusha Sa'aretz in parts of Eretz Yisrael, not of all of Eretz Yisrael? So what happened on the time, on the occasion of the Churban Bayis Sheni? Do you say it was a repeat of the Churban Bayis Rishon? That since when the Romans destroyed, the Romans armies conquered the whole Medina, so they took away the Medina from the Jewish people, so it was Ois Kedusha Shniyah. Or should you say no, that the Kedusha Shniyah of Eretz Yisrael that was accomplished by Ezra and Nehemiah was Kitcha Lossi Lovai, that retained its Kedusha. So that's the generally accepted opinion, is that the Kedusha Shniyah was not the same as the Kedusha Rishona. Kedusha Rishona that was created by Yeshua ben Nun disappeared, it vanished into thin air when there was a Churban Bayis Rishon. But the Kedusha Shniya, which was created by Ezra and Nehemiah, by moving in, by what the Rambam terms Chazaka, by just moving into the areas, the Kedusha Shniya was Kitcha Lossi Lovat. That remained L'Olam Vod. How do you rationalize that? How do you explain? Why should it be different? Why should the Kedusha Rishona only be of a temporary nature? It only lasted Kol Zman, the Medina belonged to the Jewish people. And the Kedusha Shniya extends even after the Churban Hamdina. So the Rambam explains why. He says the Kedusha Rishona, the Rambam in Hilchas Beis Abchir, Paragor, Halacha Tezayin, gives the following explanation. A famous Rambam, he says, the Kedusha Rishona of Eretz Yisrael that was created by Yeshua was based on conquering the land. It took 7 years to conquer the land, and then the completion of the conquest was When it took 7 years, they divided all of Eretz Yisrael. So that demonstrated that the land was totally conquered. Not only did they take it away from the Goyim, that we redivided it, and everybody, every Yidl owns a field and a house and a plot and a shine and the cities, everything was divided. There's no zecher to the fact that there were 31 malachim from before. Everything is conquered and divided. So since the Kedusha Rishona rested on Kibush Haaretz, So if you pull out the rug from underneath, once the Babylonian armies took away the whole Eretz Yisrael from the Jewish people, so the whole Medina was lost. So Ois Kedusha Saretz. So that's why we pasken the Kedusha Rishayna was Batla at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. But the Rambam explains that Kedusha Shniyo was never based on Kibush in the first place. There wasn't the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael until the days of the Chashmonaim. The first 200, 300 years of the Bayis Sheni, there was no Kibush. The Jews, the whole Eretz Yisrael was under the control of the Goyishe kings. So how did the Kedusha Shniyo come about? So the Rambam says it came about in a different way, through Chazokah. Chazokah just means the Jews moved in. So he says, so why should that be undone when you have the Churban Bayis Sheni? When you have a Churban HaMedina, so this, the Churban HaMedina undoes a Kedusha that's based on Kibush. Because the Churban undoes, overturns the Kibush. But the Kedusha Shniyah of Eretz Yisrael was never based in the first place on the Kibush. It can't be undone because of the fact that the Romans took away the ownership of Eretz Yisrael. So that's the famous explanation that the Rambam gives, why there's a difference between the Kedusha Rishayna as opposed to the Kedusha Shniyah. This again, to repeat, when we speak about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, what belongs to the Jewish people is whatever Avraham Avinu made the Kinyan on, in Chumash Bereishis, whatever he made the Kinyan on, that belongs to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu. Eretz no mechzakasi mi avisein mi meis Avraham Avinu ad hayom hazeh. We never lost, the Klal Yisrael never lost their ownership. The individual people maybe lost their particular ownership in a particular field, in a particular house, but the Klal Yisrael never forfeited their ownership all along. But the Kedusha b'negiyah to mitzvahs, that didn't begin from the days of Avraham Avinu. The Kedusha sa'aretz, that's mechayiv and mitzvah. Kedusha always means kedushana b'mitzvahs of tzivano. When you say, this Jew has Kedusha Yisrael, what does it mean? It means he's mechayiv and mitzvahs, and the Nochri is not mechayiv and mitzvahs. When you say, the Kohanim have more Kedusha, they have Kedusha skuna, what does it mean? They have the ability to do certain mitzvahs that the Israelim cannot do. When you say Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, when you say Yerushalayim has Kedusha, Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha, what do you mean? It means you can fulfill certain mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael that you can't fulfill in Chutz Lo'ot. That's what the word Kedusha means. Kedusha is not an abstract concept. It means Kedushana b'mitzvahs of Tzivana. If something has more mitzvahs, that means by definition it has Kedusha. So there is a Mishnah in Kalim. In the first parak in Kalim, Mishnah Vav, the Mishnah lists off Esa Kedusha, saying there are 10 levels of Kedusha. Each one is a higher level than the others. And the Mishnah says all of Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to outside of Eretz Yisrael. Then it says a higher level within Eretz Yisrael are the Ayoras HaMakofas Chomei Mimois Yeshua Ben Nun, the cities that have walls from the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, that the Chumash singles out special dinim with respect to those cities. Then it says Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha than all of the other Ayoras HaMakofas Chomei. Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha than the other walled cities. Then it says the Harabayas has a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Yerushalayim. And then as you go further into the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara has more Kedusha, and the Heichal has more Kedusha, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim has more Kedusha, and the Mishnah lists off not all the 10 levels. The levels that I mentioned are all Minat Torah. Eretz Yisrael is a higher level. Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, Chutz Lord has no Kedusha. Ayoras HaMakavus Chaim is a Pasuk in Chumash, Yerushalayim is a Pasuk in, and Harabais is a Din Daraisa, and Azorah, and Heichal, and Kodesh HaKadosh, and then the Mishnah has a couple of levels of the Rabbanan stuck in also, that each level of Kedusha is higher than the other. And each step, the Mishnah says, with respect to what do you say that Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha over Chutz Lo'ot? With respect to what do you say that Ayoras HaMakav is Chaim? You have to prove that it has Kedusha. It has to be Kedushana b'mitzvahs of Tzivano. So what mitzvah do you have to demonstrate this fact, that Ayoras HaMakav is Chaim have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael? Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha. So every step of the way, each one of the 10 levels that the Mishnah lists off, the Esek Kedushas, the Mishnah says, because there's this din and that din and the other din, that indicates that this location has a higher level of Kedusha. So the first line in the Mishnah is very awkward. The Mishnah says, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha over Chutz Lo'aretz. So how do you prove that that's so? So you can quote 25 dinim. You have Trumas and Mises and Leket Shikra, Peya, and Shmita the Yovel. The Mishnah doesn't mention any of those famous dinim. The Mishnah chaps on two dinim that are so obscure that Bochum, Herloin, and Yeshivas all their lives probably never heard of this. When you bring the Minchas HaOmer on Pesach, on the first day Chalamay Pesach, you bring the Minchas HaOmer from barley, that barley has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. And the Shtei Alechem is a korban that you bring on Shavuos, 7 weeks after Pesach. So you bring a Shtei Alechem from Chitim, from wheat, so that wheat has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. All other wheat and barley that you bring korbanos mincha from don't have to grow in Eretz Yisrael. If you have from Montana, if you have from Wyoming, wherever, if you have mufcha, if you have good wheat or barley, from Chutzlo is also good. A special din that the barley for the Mincha Sa'omer that's brought on the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach and the wheat for the Shtei Alechem that's brought on Shavuos, Emivin Omer Shtei Alechem Ela Min Ha'oretz. So from all the dinim that are famous about Eretz Yisrael, what is the Mishnah Chap on these two obscure dinim? Such a strange thing. So Rabbi Menachem Zembe has a whole long essay, very interesting, has a whole long essay on this essay Kedushas, because this Mishnah in Kalim appears also in the Sifrei Zuto, on Parshas Noso, when it has in Chumash Bamidbar, on Parshas Noso, has Shiluach Temeim and Amachnes, has about the three Machnes, Machne Shechina, Machne Levia, Machne Yisrael. So the Sifrei Zuto lists off all the essay Kedushas with slight discrepancies with the way it appears in the Mishnah Yisrael. Menachem Zemer wrote a long kuntris, 100 pages long, to explain all the discrepancies between the way it appears in the Mishnah and the way it appears in the Sifrei Zuto. A very famous essay that many have quoted. Many, Menachem Zemer was killed by the Nazis in the middle of the war, towards the end of the war. So many after him have based a lot of their Divrei Torah on the essays that he wrote. And this, it's called the Oitzer HaSifrei, when he writes about the Sifrei Zuto. So he points out, and this is Rav Soloveitchik used to say the same pshat also. He didn't know that Rav Nachum Zemba said it before him, but he thought of this on his own, the same pshat. The Mishnah here is driving at a different idea. Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas HaOretz, that you're obligated to observe the mitzvahs atleis boretz, the chovis karka, the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So that we know, but that doesn't prove that Eretz Yisrael has a Kedushas HaMikdosh. This Mishnah in Kalim, in Perek Aleph and Kalim, is trying to tell you that there are 10 levels in Kedushas Beis HaMikdosh. The highest level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdosh is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Bein Abadim, where the Orin is. That's the center of the whole Kedusha. It says, V'nadati l'choshom d'ibartitcha mi'ala kaporis. The center of all of Kedusha Beis HaMikdosh is the Kodesh HaKadoshim Bein Abadim, on the Orin. And then when you go further out to the rest of the Kodesh HaKadoshim has Kedusha, then the Hechel is further out from the Bein Abadim, so it has slightly lower Kedusha. Then you go to the Azara, slightly lower level of Kedusha. These are all levels of Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdosh. So then the Mishnah continues that the whole Har HaBayis has, as the Kedusha is flowing out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the further you go from the center of the Kedusha, so the lower the level of Kedusha will be. So it says the Har HaBayis has Kedusha, then Yerushalayim has a lesser level of Kedusha HaMikdosh. All Ayoras Hamikov Ischaim have even a lesser level of Kedusha, and all of Eretz Yisrael has a lesser level of Kedusha based on Migdosh. Not that the Mishnah is saying Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as Eretz Yisrael. That we know from another 25 dinim. The Mishnah didn't mention Leket, Shikra, Peya, Peret, Ololos, Trumas, and Maisis, Shmita, the Yovel. All the other dinim, and there are more. The Mishnah didn't mention any of those, because that just demonstrates that Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah is trying to bring out another point. Eretz Yisrael, in addition to having Kedusha, so Eretz Yisrael has a lower level, has the lowest of the 10 levels. That's the Kedusha, has the lowest level of Kedusha HaMikdosh. So where do you have a din that demonstrates that that is true? Vezok, that it's true? So the Mishnah dug up these two obscure dinim. The din requires that the barley, which you bring for the Mincha Soimer, has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdosh. What do you mean grown in the Beis HaMikdosh? They don't plant anything in the Beis HaMikdosh. You don't plant anything in all of Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to plant anything in the Atikah Yerushalayim. So the answer is no. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdosh. So the Omer has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. And the Shtei Alechem has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdosh. So what do you mean? In the Beis HaMikdosh? The answer is all of Eretz Yisrael has a Kedushas HaMikdosh with respect to these two dinim. The Omer Shtei Alechem have to have been grown in Eretz Yisrael. This is not an agricultural mitzvah. This is not from the mitzvah satleis boretz. This is a different word. All of Eretz Yisrael has, in a certain sense, a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdosh. See, there's a in Shulchan Aruch it said there's a special union to bury somebody in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara learns it out in the pasuk v'chiper ad masa yamoy, the pasuk at the end of the Shiras Hazino, the concluding pasuk. So the Pashup shot in the Pasuk is V'chiper. The Pasuk describes the Holocaust that's going to occur to the Jewish people, and the Pasuk says the Jews won't believe it. Where was God when all of this was happening? How can it be? So the Pasuk says that's what's going to happen. And all the people will wonder, where was the Ribbono Shel Olam? And it says, after all of this, will be all over. V'chiper ad masay amay. So Rashi says, what is it? How do you translate V'chiper? So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease. He will be mefayes. Ad masay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mefayes his land, Eretz Yisrael, and he will be mefayes the Jewish people. He will renew, there'll be a hischatshus of Eretz Yisrael. Things will pick up in Eretz Yisrael, and things will pick up for the Klal Yisrael after such a Holocaust that's described to the so great to the extent that the people will wonder, where was the Ribbono Shel Olam? How could it have happened? So after that, the Ribbono Shel Olam will be Mephias Eretz Yisrael, Mephias the Jewish people. So Rashi writes that's the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. The Chiper is Miloshin Pius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease the Jewish people and appease the land. And then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, but this is not the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. Miloshin Kapara, V'chiper ad masay amoy, that when a Jew lives in Eretz Yisrael, and when a Jew is buried in Eretz Yisrael, so Eretz Yisrael gives him an atonement for his averis. Means if he does tshuva, he doesn't do tshuva, no one gets any atonement unless he do tshuva. But if a person is interested in doing tshuva, and he's in Eretz Yisrael, so v'chiper ad masay amoy, Eretz Yisrael will be mechaper on the people. So usually, what's mechaper? When you bring korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, the korbanos are mechapes. Here the Gemara has a concept based on this pasuk, kol ha-kover b'Eretz Yisrael, whoever is buried anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, kilu kover tachas ha-mizbeach, as if he's buried under the mizbeach. What does that mean? That he gets a kapara. But what does that lashon mean? It means that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of kedushas ha-mikdash. Not only does it have kedushas ha'aretz with respect to the agricultural mitzvahs, the mitzvahs ha'tvoyis baretz, the chavis karka as we call them, but it has a lower level of kedushas beis hamikdash. So, for example, there is a din that Shlomo HaMelech told us, but the Rambam seems to present it as if it's a real din deraisa. Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first beis hamikdash, offered his famous tefillah. So in the tefillah he says, this beis hamikdash is not only a place for bringing korbanos, this is a place like the Novi Yishai says, Ki Beis Beis Tfila Yikarei L'Cholu Amim. The Beis HaMikdash is the Mokum Tfila. Everybody should come and daven in the Beis HaMikdash, the Jews and the non-Jews. And the Ribbono Shel Olam will answer everyone's prayers if they daven in the Beis HaMikdash. And then Shlomo HaMelech says three times. He says that people should come to daven in the Beis HaMikdash. And then he says, and if they don't come to the Beis HaMikdash, they should daven facing the Beis HaMikdash. Then another time he says, they should face the Beis HaMikdash. Then he says, V'ispalei alecha derech ha'ir hazos, they should face Yerushalayim. Then he says, V'ispalei alecha derech ha'artzim, they should face Eretz Yisrael. So which is it? The four different statements. He says they should come down in the Beis HaMikdash, they should face the Beis HaMikdash, they should face Yerushalayim, they should face Eretz Yisrael. So which is it? So the Gemara says there's no contradiction. It's in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara Bracha is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. If you live in America, if you live in Russia, see if you have time, go daven Meirav, okay? Go daven in Beis HaMikdash, okay? But if you can't go to the Beis HaMikdash, you face Eretz Yisrael. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, so what do you mean face Eretz Yisrael? So you face Yerushalayim. If you're davening in Yerushalayim, then you face the Beis HaMikdash. Pa'alei lecha derech ha'bayis hazeh. If you have an opportunity to, Sadrab, so go to the Beis HaMikdash and daven in the Beis HaMikdash. So what the Navi, what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, Benavuah, is like the other Navim say also, the Beis HaMikdash is the Mokum of Tfilo. That's how the Gemara says, V'yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash ninalu shari Tfilo. From the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia and Perek Hazov, so the gates of Tfilo are closed, meaning that the Tfilos are not answered to the same extent that they used to be answered Bizbancha Beis HaMikdash Hayekayim. That's the Pasuk. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Megillah Secha that says, Gam Kiezek Lashaveya Sosam Tfilosi. After the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, even if we cry and we daven seriously, so Sosam Tfilosi, the prayers are not accepted to the same extent that they used to be accepted Bizbancha Beis HaMikdash Hayekayim, because the Beis HaMikdash is Beis HaTfilah. That's where all the prayers are supposed to go. That's the office. All the prayers are supposed to be directed. So, if you can't daven in the Beis HaMikdash, you should face the Beis HaMikdash. And if you're outside of Yerushalayim, then you don't have to try to be mechav and face the Mokam HaMikdash, you face Yerushalayim. Why? Because all of Yerushalayim has a certain, in a certain sense, has a level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Benevuah, it's efficient if you face Yerushalayim. Or if you live in Chutz Laretz, and Eretz Yisrael is a whole Medina, so you don't have to face exactly Yerushalayim. If you face any part of Eretz Yisrael, that's considered facing Kedushas HaMikdash, because all of Eretz Yisrael has a Kedushas HaMikdash. So these are some of the dinim. What do you say? These are some of the dinim that the Gemara has. The fact that kol akova Eretz Yisrael kilu kova tachas hamizbeach, and he gets a kapar. So the Gemara is saying that all of Eretz Yisrael has, in a certain sense, a lower level of kedushas based on mikdash. Shlomo HaMelech says you have to daven facing the based on mikdash, nochach hamikdash. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Tfilo. He sounds like he said that's a din min haTorah, even though it only appears in the pasuk in Malachim and Tfilo Shlomo. But the Rambam writes this as the dinim deraisa before the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah introduced all the dinim derabbanan and tefillah. So one of the dinim derais is that if you live in Chutz Laretz, you face Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because all of Eretz Yisrael has to a certain extent has a Kedushas HaMikdash. So you're facing Kedushas HaMikdash. So this is really a separate inyan. Eretz Yisrael has one level of Kedushas HaAretz, and has another inyan, another aspect that has a lower level of Kedushas based on HaMikdash. There's yet a fifth aspect to Eretz Yisrael, basically unrelated to everything that we said until now. The Rambam quotes Gemaras. There are certain halachas that only apply in Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that they have nothing to do with agriculture. Take, for example, conferring smicha. So the Gemara learns, does not learn out from Sukkah. Gemara just states the dinim in Sanhedrin. The Gemara formulates a dinim. Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. The one who is giving the smicha and the one who is receiving the smicha both have to be in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to give smicha davke to a person who is in your presence. You can give smicha zeshalei b'fnei zeh, but both the masmich and the one who is receiving the smicha have to be in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam writes in his commentary on the Mishnah's Bechoris, on Daf Chav Tes, when the Mishnah mentions casually there this inyan of smicha, so the Rambam gives you an explanation. Why is that so? Why do you only give smicha in Eretz Yisrael? What it has to do with the farmers get smicha. It's only a farmer in Eretz Yisrael who is fulfilling mitzvah tlis bo. What has it got to do with Eretz Yisrael? So the Rambam says no, and he quotes a Gemara in Horius. There is an institution of par halam davar shel tzibur. What it means is like this. Let's say someone by mistake is mechal Shabbos, or somebody by mistake eats chela v'dam. The person b'shoigig violated an avera, which is a serious avera, which if he would have violated the mezid, the punishment would have been kare, so the person violated the aver b'shoigeg, so the Torah requires there should be a korban chatos. If a person, let's say, cheated in business, or he spoke lashon hara b'shoigeg, so he doesn't bring a korban chatos. You only bring a chatos on such an aver, which if violated the mezid, there would have been a punishment of kare, so violated b'shoigeg, you bring a korban chatos. So the Gemara has the following case. What if the Bezna Gadol Paskins, let's say, that you're allowed to turn on electric lights on Shabbos? No. Chief Rabbi says, you're allowed to turn on lights, everybody's turning on the lights. Then after a couple of years, the Chief Rabbi retires, and they appoint a new Chief Rabbi, the new 71 members of the Bezna Gadol, and they say they made a mistake the previous, or the same Zolzayin, the same Chief Rabbi, Zolzayin, the 120 year, he changes his mind. He says, I made a mistake, and the din is that it's a Malacha Deraisa. And everybody, turns out everybody was Mechal Shabbos B'shoigeg. So do you require of each and every Jew that they should bring a Korban Chatos? So the Pasuk in Chumash says no. If the Roiv HaTzibur violated the Avera, they ate Chela V'dam, Chometz B'Pesach, whatever Avera they violated, which is so serious an Avera that normally if violated B'mezid, it would have been Kores, and now they violated B'shoigeg, instead of requiring of each and every individual person to bring his own Korban Chatos, we say the Bezna Gadol brings one chatos, that's the par helam davish al tzibur, and everybody gets their kapar. But this is only provided that the roiv hatzibur, the majority of Klal Yisrael, violated the avera. What if less than 50% of the Klal Yisrael violated the avera? Then we taka require of each and every individual person that he has to bring a korban chatos. You can't get away with this. You don't bring the par helam davish al tzibur. And the individuals who violated Aver, each one needs his own kapara, and you don't say that, it's not his fault, it's an oinus, he was following the chief rabbinate, the Bezna Gadol, it doesn't help. Each and every individual person has to bring his own korban chatos. So the Gemara says in her, the Rambam in his commentary on Mishnah's Bechoris, and Daf Chav Tes quotes this Gemara in Pirius. The Gemara says, when you're taking a cheshbon to try to calculate whether more than 50% of Klal Yisrael violated the Avera, or less than 50%, you only calculate regarding those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lord don't count. They're Jewish, but they're not part of Klal Yisrael. See, that's what Ben-Gurion used to say. Jews who live in Chutz Lord are not Jewish. What did he mean by that? It doesn't make a difference what he meant. He was an atheist. It doesn't make a difference. But it started off in this Gemara. You see, to him, there was no religion. So the only thing that Judaism meant was nationality. So in that sense, he's right. The Gemara has, whenever there's a nationalistic din, whenever there's a mitzvah that depends on Klal Yisrael, who has Kedushas Yisrael? So the Jews all over the world have Kedushas Yisrael. Whether you're Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Lord, it doesn't make a difference. But only those who live in Eretz Yisrael are called Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Malachim, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, everybody showed up in order to attend the celebration, Kohol Godol, Melevo Chamos, Ad Nachal Mitzrayim, from the northernmost point in Eretz Yisrael. Melevo Chamos, Ad Nachal Mitzrayim is the southernmost point in Eretz Yisrael. The people showed up from all over. So the Gemara says, and the Jews didn't come from Chutz Lod, they came from Chutz Lod. But you see from the pasuk that they're not Kohol. Only those who live in Eretz Yisrael, it says, Kohol Godol, Melevo Chamos, Ad Nachal Mitzrayim. Only those who live in Eretz Yisrael are called Kohol. Those who live in Chutz Lord are not called Kohol. So this pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, where it speaks about the Parhal Dovah Shel Tzibur, so the expression used is, V'nelam Dovah Me'eni HaKohol. If the Klal Yisrael violates this Avera, based on the mistaken Psaka, the Bez Nagol. So Klal Yisrael only applies to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam, in his commentary on Mishnah's Bechoris on Daf Chavtes, quotes this Gemara, with respect to Pahar and Dovah Shel Tzibur, and he says, and now he understands why the smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. He says, smicha is not a private affair that a Rebbe gives smicha to his Talmud. Smicha, you see from the Gemara, smicha was always conferred in a public demonstrative ceremony. That's where the Romans made the gzeiras, they're going to kill anybody, give smicha. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova was Maaser Nefesh, he gave smicha and then they killed him. So what kind of a chachma was he? Give smicha privately. I'm sure there are many people in this room who have a smicha, and no one knows whether they have smicha. They get an aliyah. They call them a parav. Some of them, they don't call them a parav. They have smicha. Everybody knows there's a list of everyone who got smicha. There's no list. No one knows who has smicha. So what Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova have to give the smicha in a public way and be Moiseh Nefesh and he lost his life and the Romans killed him? Give a private smicha. Nobody will know. And the smicha will be preserved, and you don't have to be afraid. So the answer is no. The halacha requires smicha is only valid, the real smicha. What we have today is only imitation smicha. The real smicha can only be conferred in a public fashion. That's what you see from the Gemara, because the smicha is really not a private affair that the Rebbe gives smicha to the Talmud. The Rebbe represents Klal Yisrael in giving smicha. So that's what the Rambam writes. Klal Yisrael is only an Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lord are not called Klal Yisrael.
How do you see all the
That's not Chazak. Beis HaMikdash will be built. That's what the Nevi'im promises. There will be a third Beis HaMikdash. Okay. But that's unrelated to Eretz Yisrael. That's another thing. Beis HaMikdash will be in Eretz Yisrael. Will be in the Makam HaMikdash. Same place where the first two Bat HaMikdash is. Who decides when it's time to build the Beis HaMikdash? Yeah. That's a major... That's a very important. There was a discussion years ago.
Right.
Well, I have to get to it. The Gemara says the mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash only begins when we have Eretz Yisrael and it's peaceful. If it's not peaceful, if the goyim are still giving us a hard time, then there's no mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. So far it's not yet peaceful, unfortunately. But when it will be peaceful, that's how the Pesukim say in Chumash. When it will be peaceful, Oy banich lochem kol arech misaviv, then you should go build a Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Gemara says there are three mitzvahs that have to be fulfilled in this order. to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, and then to wipe out Amalek, and then when it'll be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael, then the third mitzvah that has to be fulfilled in that order is to build Binyan Beis HaBchira, build a Beis HaMikdash. Because man, that you don't have peace in Eretz Yisrael, then you're not mechuyev to build a Beis HaMikdash. If you build it, it'll be kodesh, but the mitzvah of building Beis HaMikdash only begins when it's peaceful. So the Rambam writes this interesting comment that you have the mitzvah of smicha, conferring smicha, can only take place in Eretz Yisrael because smicha is a function of Klal Yisrael. And he says this based on this Gemara in the beginning of Hayris, that you only bring a parah on Devashel Tzibur if the majority of Klal Yisrael violated the Aveira. And the Gemara says you only calculate Klal Yisrael, those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz Lord don't count. The Rambam in another place in the Sefer HaMitzvos also writes like that. The Rambam writes that Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar HaShana, the establishing of the Jewish calendar of the Luach, can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. And he says that we today, Rambam lived in Egypt, he says, we today who make all the calculations in order to know when Rosh Chodesh is and when it's Hashana Pshuta, Hashana Moberes, which year has 12 months, which year has 13 months. And the Rambam says, you shouldn't make a mistake and think that we are establishing the Amim Teim based on our calculation. No, it's the Jews in Eretz Yisrael who are making the calculation. So which Jews in Eretz Yisrael are making the calculation? Who lived there? Which big Rabbanim were there in Eretz Yisrael? And the Rambam says, because, and he explains why. He says, because only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are called Klal Yisrael. And the Rambam writes, the Sefer HaMitzvos is a translation, the Sefer HaMitzvos that we have, is a translation from the Arabic. It was originally written in Arabic. We have the original Arabic. So in the Arabic it says, and in translation it says, and if one could imagine Chas V'Sholem, that's how he writes in the Arabic and in the Hebrew translation, if one can imagine Chas V'Sholem, that there wouldn't be any Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, even though you have millions of surviving Jews who live all over the world, that would mean that you don't have any Klal Yisrael. And the Rebbeinu Shlom promised us not only will there be survivors, not only will the Jews survive every Holocaust, but the Klal Yisrael will survive also. So the Rambam says, we know that there is always going to be a minyan, there are always going to be 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, and they are the Klal Yisrael. The overwhelming majority, 99% of the world Jewish population lives in Chutz Lortz, but he says, yeah, we're Yechidim. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael, not talking who's a bigger tzaddik, it's Lamala Valamar, the Rambam says, not talking who's a bigger learner. The Chassam Sefer writes a famous line on that Rambam. Who lived in Eretz Yisrael days of the Rambam? Farmers. He says, yeah, the farmers, the Ikarim, the farmers who lived in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Rambam says that they are the Klal Yisrael. We, all the big Rabbanim who live in Chutz Lortz, all the Tzadikim, all the Frumah Yidin live in Chutz Lortz, we are Jewish. We have a Kedushas Yisrael, but the Rambam is defining the Klal Yisrael as those who live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's how the Rambam explains three dinim. The original source he quotes from the Gemara in Harvias with respect to Pahar and Dovashel Tzibur, that the definition of Klal Yisrael depends on those who live in only in Eretz Yisrael. When you make the Cheshbon, whether more than 50% or less than 50% violated this Chilul Shabbos or ate the Chil of Adam, so the Gemara says you only make the Cheshbon on those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Rambam extends it to Smicha. Then the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos extends it to the Kiddush HaChodesh and the Ibar HaShana. And then others point out there's a Tesis in the beginning of Psochem where Tesis writes a Chiddush that the Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are not obligated. The Gemara says they're not obligated to be Oyler Regal. That's a Gemara. The Jews who live in Chutz Lortz don't have an obligation to be Oyler Regal. They're supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. When they live in Eretz Yisrael, they will be obligated. But those who live in Chutz Lortz are not obligated to be Oyler Regal. What about Korban Pesach? Does state nishn the Gemara to say that the Jews in Chutz Lortz are not mechuyev in Korban Pesach? So Tosfos says like that, the Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are not obligated to bring a Korban Pesach. The Gemara tells us that the many Jews always came from Europe, from Asia, from Africa. They used to travel weeks and weeks and weeks, months. They used to travel in order to bring Korban Pesach. So Tosfos says, but they're not mechuyev. That's only optional. They're not mechuyev if they don't want to. So on the bottom of the page in Psochim, on that Tosfos, they printed that the Mishnah Melech writes that it doesn't make sense. He doesn't understand what Tosfos is talking about. It doesn't make any sense. How can it be? There's no source for such a state. So the latest Svarim write that it's in the Yerushalmi like that. And the reason why there's no obligation for the Jews in Chutz Lortz to participate in Korban Pesach, because the Gemara calls Korban Pesach a Korban Tzibur, and only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered the Tzibur. The Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are called Yechidim. And that's how the Gemara has, there's a famous Agarate in Megillah and Daf Yud Daled. The Gemara wants to know how come We recite Hallel on Chanukah, and we don't recite Hallel on Purim. There was a big Yeshua, there's a big Hatzolah on Purim as well. So the Gemara gives three different answers. So one of the answers is that the Nes of Chanukah occurred in Eretz Yisrael, and the Nes of Purim occurred in Chutz Lortz, and that's the rule. We don't recite Hallel over a Nes that occurred in Chutz Lortz. Manishtana, what's the difference in Nes and Eretz on Nes and Chutz Lortz? So the Minchas Chinuch writes that he thinks that Pshat in the Gemara is you only recite Hallel, there's only an obligation to recite Hallel if the Nes was a Nes of Klal Yisrael. All the Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are called Yechidim. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, even if they're way less than 50% of the world Jewish population, they're called the Klal Yisrael. So that's the Klal. You only recite Hallel over a Nes that occurred to the Klal Yisrael. So this is really a fifth opinion, that the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael is the Mitzaref of Klal Yisrael. And whenever there's a mitzvah that has to do with Klal Yisrael, it only has its place in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, the Gemara asked that kasha. So the Gemara says, "Kodim shenivchar Eretz Yisrael, before Yeshua ben Nun crossed over the Yarden, or you call Aratzis Ksheris Lahalom." And the Mishin Nivchar Eretz Yisrael, after Eretz Yisrael was chosen, after the Bnei Yisrael moved in, so then this rule began to apply. This inyan that Eretz Yisrael is the mitzaref of all of Klal Yisrael, so the Rambam writes, let's say for smicha purposes, it can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael, or the mitzvah of Egla Rufo, a parsha in the Chumash, if you find a person murdered in Eretz Yisrael, you have to measure to the neighboring cities, and the city that's established as being the closest city has to bring an Egla Rufo in order to gain a kapora. We assume the murderer must have come from that city. So all the people who live in the city need a kapora. So this din of Egla Rufo only applies in Eretz Yisrael also. So the Rambam says, Egla Rufo and Smicha, these are not from agricultural mitzvahs. Why should it? It doesn't make sense that these should depend on Kedusha Sa'aretz. So the Rambam Taka says it doesn't depend on Kedusha Sa'aretz. Even those areas which had a Kedusha Rishonah in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and in the days of Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan, the Kedusha was destroyed. And later on, when Ezra and Nehemiah moved back to Eretz Yisrael, he renewed the Kedusha on parts of Eretz Yisrael, but not all. The Gemara says, Vehinichum, a lot of areas, he left them on purpose with a political agenda, with a political consideration. He doesn't want to be Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael, in order that they shouldn't have the burden of observing Shemitah, the Gemara says. They should be able to make a little money during Shemitah. So the Rambam says that Smicha and Egla Rufa still apply in those areas. Aye, but those areas don't have a Kedusha Shnia. They don't have Kedusha Soretz. They don't have the mitzvah to be Mafish, Chumas, and Maisa. So the Rambam says, no, but we're talking over here, Egla Rufa, Smicha. Egla Rufa and Smicha is a function of Klal Yisrael. So whatever once had Kedusha Soretz, if there are Jews living there now, that's part of those people are considered part of Klal Yisrael. Not only the Jews who live in the parts of Eretz Yisrael that have Kedusha Soretz. Whatever at one time had Kedusha Soretz, the Jews who live there have the status of being part of Klal Yisrael. There's yet a sixth aspect to Eretz Yisrael that's very sorely misunderstood. The Ramban has a running commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvah. So the Rambam lists off what he considers of the 613 mitzvahs. He counts off the 248 mitzvahs as say, and the 365 mitzvahs lo says. So the Ramban every so often will shepherd the Rambam, this doesn't belong, this doesn't belong. So he deletes 16 mitzvahs, and he has to replace them with 16 other mitzvahs. So he writes the famous line the Ramban has at the end of the Minyan mitzvahs as say. So he has he lists off his 16, 17 mitzvahs that he's replacing instead of the 16, 17 that he deleted from the Rambam. So he writes mitzvah dalet that he's adding on is a mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So this is the famous Ramban that all the Zionists quote. The Ramban says you have to establish a Jewish government. How can anybody disagree with the Ramban? So there's a commentary on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvah that's called Megillas Esther. It's written by a man. It's not written by a woman, but his mother, he writes, his mother passed away. His mother's name is Esther. His mother passed away as he was going to print. So he wanted to memorialize his mother, so he called it Megillas Esther. Several swarm like that, like the Chavis Yor. His mother's name was Chavis. He wanted to memorialize his mother, so he called the Sefer Chavis Yor. or the Nadi Behuda, but the Tzlach, the Tzion and Nefesh Chaya. His mother passed away, his mother's name was Chaya. So this Sefer is the Tzion, Matseva, a memorial for his mother, who is a Tzadik, her name was Chaya. So the Megillah Esther is the commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He'll always defend the Rambam, right or wrong, he'll always defend the Rambam. So half the time what he says makes sense, and half the time does make sense. So over here, he comes to the defense of the Rambam. How come the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to establish a Yiddish Medina in Eretz Yisrael? So he says, this is the first time in halachic literature that this is given any significance. There is a Gemara in the end of Ksubis, where the Gemara comments on the Psukim and Shir Hashirim, that it said three times, Hishbati Eschem Menos Yerushalayim, that the Rabbanu Shalom made the Jewish people take a Shavuah. And it says it three times. So the Gemara says, Gimel Shavuah Hishbiya Kodesh Baruch Hu B'nei Yisrael. The Rabbanu Shalom caused the Jewish people to take three oaths. And one of the oaths is that during this Zman of the Golos, we won't pressure the nations of the world to give us Medina Yisrael. We'll sit quietly and we'll wait till Mashiach comes. Shelo Litchok Esaket. So the Megillah Esther says the reason why the Rambam didn't include this mitzvah to establish a Jewish government is because the Rambam holds for not Gemara in the end of Ksubis. It's a Gemara. But the problem is none of the Sifri Hapsak ever quoted that Gemara Lalor. It's an Agadita. A lot of Agadatas, we don't know exactly what it means. So the Megillah Esther is the first one, in the late 1700s, he was the first one who took that Gemara as a halachic statement. It's a din. The Rambam holds that it's a din that you're not allowed to establish a Yiddish in Medina. You have to wait till the Yom HaSalem giving the Medina. So since the din doesn't apply, Bismanazah, so that's why the Rambam didn't count it in the Sefer HaMitzvah. So the truth of the matter is that this is very difficult because the Rambam did count it in the Sefer HaMitzvah. The Rambam quotes the Gemara. The very beginning, Perek Aleph, Aloch Aleph, and Hilchas Malachim, the Rambam writes, he's quoting verbatim a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chof HaMabes, the Gemara says, Gimel Mitzvot, and Tzitzav Yisrael b'chnisosam la'oretz. The Jewish people became obligated to observe three mitzvahs in the following order. First is to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. The second mitzvah is to wipe out the nation of Amalek, whoever they happen to be. And the third mitzvah is Livnas Lambes Abchira, when it'll be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam did count the mitzvah to establish a Yiddish in Medina. So what was the Ramban's kash against the Rambam? So the answer is, the Megillah says they misread the whole Ramban. The Ramban's kasha was a different kasha. That about establishing Medina, the Ramban writes, Kelahaya. The Ramban says the Rambam forgot to mention the mitzvah that we should all live in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban quotes the pasuk that says, V'rishtem esaretz v'yishavtem bo. So the Ramban says, it's a posik in the end of Chumash Bamidbar. The Yerishtim Mesoharetz means you should establish a Yiddish in Medina in Eretz Yisrael. The Yishavtim Bo, you should all live in Eretz Yisrael. So the first mitzvah, the Rambam did count to establish a Yiddish in Medina in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam never mentioned, he quotes all the dinim that you have to live in Eretz Yisrael, but he never counted that as an independent mitzvah in the listing of the 613 mitzvahs. So that was the kasha. Why didn't the Rambam count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So the Megillah says the Pashid made a mistake. The whole thing is a mistake. He thought that the Ramban's kasha was why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So he came to defend that. The Rambam did count that mitzvah. And the defense that he gives, the latest forum point out, Davni Nezer and many others point out, the defense that he gave is a Shvacher defense. He says the Rambam holds that the mitzvah doesn't apply Bismanazah to establish a Yiddish in Medina because of the Gimel Shavuot. The Rambam counts as a mitzvah hakrovas hakorbanos and haproshes tumas and maisis and all the laws of melech. The Rambam says we don't have a Beis Hamikdash today. We don't have tumas and maisis min haTorah today. We don't have a lot of mitzvahs today. And the Rambam still says that counts as a mitzvah in the listing of 613 mitzvahs. So what do you mean? The Rambam holds that today, for a while, you're not supposed to establish a Yiddish in Medina, so therefore it doesn't count as a mitzvah. No. The Rambam should have, based on his own rules and regulations, should have included that in the mitzvah. So the answer that the Megillah Esther gave, if there would have been a kasha, that wouldn't have been a valid answer. That's what Davni Nezer and many others point out. The taina of the Rambam was a different taina. Why the Rambam didn't mention the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government, that's clear. There is a mitzvah, and the Ramban writes, a mitzvah applies throughout all the generations. Why not? Mitzvah applies whenever it's feasible to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael over all of Eretz Yisrael. And if we have control, the Gemara says in Erevin, and this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos, if the Jews have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, and have control over areas, and the Arabs are pressuring, or any other nation is pressuring, that they should surrender areas. So that's called the Melchemes Mitzvah. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Shabbos it says. You go to war on Shabbos even though no lives are endangered. No one's life is endangered. That has the status of a Melchemes Mitzvah. You mechuyev to be Mechal Shabbos in order to maintain all of Eretz Yisrael, mechuyev even to lose Jewish lives. Even though like this, no Jewish lives will be lost. That's the din. You mechuyev to go to war if you're pretty sure you're going to win the war. If you're not sure if you're going to win the war, there's no mitzvah to fight a losing war. But if you're pretty sure that you're going to win the war, then you have to go to war, even if it means you're going to lose many Jewish lives. And the Rambam writes also in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Malach, Malach Yud, that you have to establish a political entity of a Medina, and you have to establish Yerushalayim as the official capital of Eretz Yisrael. It's not a matter of what the Knesset says and what the American Congress says. Lomalo lamorid. The halacha says that Yerushalayim is the official capital of the political entity of Eretz Yisrael. And there are dinim based on this assumption that Eretz Yisrael is a political entity. There's a Medina. There are dinim that depend on Medina. And there are dinim that are based on the assumption that Eretz Yisrael, that Yerushalayim is the official capital. The Rambam quotes. There are dinim based on the assumption Yerushalayim is the official capital of Eretz Yisrael. Then let me just close with this, another minute. There are other inyanim that are related to Eretz Yisrael, unrelated to all of these six inyanim that we spoke. We spoke about the fact that Eretz Yisrael is the center of the upper hemisphere, and this determines where the international dateline is. And Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu, made a kinyan, and never lost a kinyan. And all of Eretz Yisrael has kedusha with respect to the mitzvahs of Tlis Bartz. And all of Eretz Yisrael has kedusha Hamigdosh, an aspect of kedusha Hamigdosh. And Eretz Yisrael is the national homeland of the Jewish people. It's mitzvah for all of Klal Yisrael together. And then we just spoke now about the fact that Eretz Yisrael, you have to have a Medina Yisrael. It has to be a Jewish government. But then the Gemara has other things. People with asthma go to, Arizona? I don't know. If you want to plant oranges, Mistami, don't plant in the middle of Manhattan. There are other areas. There are places in the world where for hot conditions, you go to Denver. I don't know. You don't go to Denver. I forgot already what it is. There are different places which are healthier for different conditions. There are different areas in the world where if you plant grapes, it's going to grow. If you plant it in another place, it's not going to grow. So the Gemara says Eretz Yisrael has certain properties in which it's different from the rest of the world. This is all unrelated to everything else. The Gemara says 10 degrees of Chachma. The Gemara in Kiddushin lists off the 10 degrees of beauty and 10 degrees of speaking, Sicha. So the Gemara says 10 degrees of Chachma came down to the world. 9 degrees of Chachma are located in Eretz Yisrael, and one unit of Chachma is the rest of the world. The Gemara assumes Avirid Eretz Yisrael Machkim, that the people who learn in Eretz Yisrael will be more successful in understanding. The Gemara in Taina speaks about the Pasuk, that Eretz Yisrael, there's more Hashgacha Protest than there is in Chutz L'Aretz. The Rebbeinu Shlom watches more, it's good for the Jews and it's bad for the Jews. He punishes people for any little sneeze that they go wrong. And it's good for the Jews, HaKadosh Baruch will be protective of the Klal Yisrael more. There's more Hashgacha Protest in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara says, Asidim Iloni Sraksha Beretz Yisrael Liton Peros, that the trees that normally don't bear fruits, Lasi Lava, the trees will bear fruits. The Gemara says that Trias HaMeisim will occur in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Achaim. These other properties of Eretz Yisrael, unrelated to everything else that we spoke about. Eretz Yisrael is like Arizona is different from New York, and Wyoming is different from Arizona. Every part of the globe is different from other parts. So Eretz Yisrael has many different milas over all of the other countries as well. But all of these milas, the schoolers of Eretz Yisrael, this is unrelated to everything else. The Kedusha Saritz and the Medina and all the other, the Tziruf of Klal Yisrael, each one is separate.